Welcome back to the Bleached and Bothered podcast. My name is Layla Halbert, and I am your hostess with the mostess.
And I am Mama Halbert.
And we all have gas because she made beans this week.
It was worth every fart, though.
It was worth all the farts and diarrhea. Just kidding. No, there's no diarrhea.
Nobody had diarrhea. Shut up.
Just kidding. If you're new here, welcome. Probably not, though. I think at this point, there's not anyone new. It's just the OGs, the faithful ones, the day ones. So hello. Hope everyone's doing well. We are about to have the craziest heat wave in Washington that I've ever seen in my entire life. We have air conditioning, so rip to everyone else who doesn't.
They're sold out everywhere to the portable ones.
Yeah, hopefully y'all are going to be okay if you don't have it.
Shout out to Lisa and Steve in Eastern Washington.
Oh,
camping in a tent.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard pass for me.
You guys are probably going to melt.
Yeah. Ugh. No, thanks. Have fun, though. Anyway, if you are not yet subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe, rate, review. We haven't gotten a new review in a long time. So if you're listening and you keep thinking, oh, shoot, I need to do that, I keep forgetting, here's your sign. Thank you. 5 stars only, please. Also, if you're not following the Instagram accounts, you can do that. Mine is definitely more exciting than the podcast account because running multiple accounts is hard work. So honestly, if you don't follow the podcast account, I don't blame you, but you can if you want. What else? I think that's it. We are going to be recapping week 3 of The Bachelorette, and I'm trying to think if... Oh, I have a bothered thing that I want to get off my chest right off the bat. So I've probably talked about this in some variation before, but at work today, I had 2 haircuts no-show in a row. And the first one that did, I sent him a text being like, hey, you had an appointment scheduled 10 minutes ago. Are you on your way here? What's going on? And he's like, oh, I didn't have it on my calendar. I forgot. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and so I use online booking, and the app that I use automatically sends out reminders to all my clients when they have appointments scheduled. It sends out a reminder 2 days before their appointment. And I can see on my end exactly what time the reminders were sent and whether it was sent via email or text or both. So this specific person got a reminder. I could see it. And got a text reminder and an email reminder. And I said, well, you know, if it's not on your calendar, that's your fault. I didn't say this, but I was like, oh, well, the app sent you a reminder. So I don't know what's going on. He's like, oh, I blocked those. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, if you don't want the texts coming through or the emails from my booking app, then you need to be a big boy and remember to put it on your fucking calendar. It's not the first time this person has done something like this either.
Yeah, if you are the kind of person that obviously forget, why would you block the apps
also,
that remind you?
Why would you tell me you did? Like, that's just so, like, flippant and rude. Like,
but he got charged anyway, right?
Like, oh, your time doesn't really mean anything to me, and the texts were annoying, so I just blocked the number so I wouldn't get the reminders, and here I am no showing you and not giving a shit about it. I'm just like, okay, annoying. And then I had another no show right after that, which was just the icing on the cake.
So were you able to get paid by both of them?
Yeah, but good. Either way, it's just like the principle of it. It just irks me because I'm like,
terrible.
I could have been, I sat at work for almost an hour waiting around for people who weren't planning on showing up, and I could have been doing lots of other things.
True.
Or doing somebody else's hair. Anyway, that will forever and always be one of my biggest fucking pet peeves is people who don't show up for appointments and then on top of that, just act like it's not a big deal. Like, if I did that to someone, if I completely forgot about an appointment and accidentally no-showed, I would feel horrible. And I would just be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's totally my fault. Like, what do you want? How do I make this right? You know, whatever. Yeah. But like, just to be like, oh, I blocked the number. Oh, didn't put it in my calendar.
Or flip it the other way around. Imagine if they showed up for their hair appointment and you weren't there.
Yeah, maybe I should try that next time.
Then, you know, how would they feel if their time had been disrespected that way?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm here for my haircut. Where are you? I don't know. I just didn't feel like going.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot to put it in my calendar. Book.
Yeah.
Imagine. Yeah. Anyway, so don't do that to people. And if you do, don't make them feel bad for charging you for missing an appointment that you scheduled, because that's really shitty. So that's my thing. Do you have anything?
No, but I agree with you.
Okay, great. So this week we are starting off with where we left off the previous week, where we hadn't got to see the rose ceremony yet. And we just see Carl, the quote unquote motivational speaker. I still haven't figured out what the fuck he's motivating people to do other than want to murder him. But he is still being an ass and all the guys are pissed about it. And Katie finally comes back into the room and announces that they're just going to go straight to the rose ceremony. She's clearly pissed off. She's like, cocktail party is over. We're going straight to the rose ceremony. Like, enough is enough. So she walks out and she goes off and she's crying. And of course, who walks in to save the day? Fucking Greg. I'm like, great. Clearly the producers have picked a favorite, because none of those other guys knew where the fuck she was. The producers clearly told him where she was and said, hey, maybe you should go check on her. I'm just like, ugh. Now she's building more of an attachment with him, and he's going to break her freaking heart because he's a phony. So I'm annoyed. So then we see the guys in the room again. Everyone's mad at Carl, blah, 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 the drama.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I just thought about this. Carl, he may be annoying as hell, but what you see is what you get. And then you got these other guys like Craig. Greg
and Craig are two completely different names. Okay,
Greg, who she thinks is wonderful, but is he really? So which would you rather have?
Neither.
Same. But I'm like, saying
daddy-o, please. It's gonna be one daddy-o for me, thank you. Yeah, so Carl walks out of the room and goes into a corner and is shadow boxing by himself. I'm like, sir, what do you think is going to happen? This is a family show, sort of.
Yeah.
That was so weird. I was like, what is he doing? Anyway. Okay, so it's finally time for the rose ceremony. And she's handing out her roses. And once it gets time for Virgin Mike to get his rose, this is the first time I've ever seen something like this happen in this way in the decade or more that I've been watching this show. But he tells Katie that as a unit, the guys all think that Carl needs to go. Like, you know, we're all like, basically just says, listen, we're all on the same page about this. This guy's bad news. Like, we think that he needs to go, which was very ballsy. And also,
well, he basically said that he said this, a lot of guys are not there for the right reason, and they all disagreed with him. But to be honest, as the show is going on, I'm starting to believe that he knew something that we didn't know, because...
Did he?
They're coming out of the woods.
But did Carl know something we didn't know? Or is he just full of shit and it's a coincidence? Because there's always maybe a few people who are there for the quote-unquote wrong reasons, who get turned into the villain or get called out or end up being a snake in the grass or whatever. That happens every season. I think that's true.
I think if he knew a person,
he would have said their name. Yeah, exactly. He didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, if he knew exactly who he was talking about, he would have said their name. But he was probably thinking in his head, the chances of there being multiple guys here, or at least one guy here that is here for the quote unquote wrong reasons, are pretty likely. So let me just stir the pot and not give any details and piss everybody off because it'll get me screen time. And that's exactly what happened. He's not an idiot. The guy, you saw the guy on screen. I would be willing to bet all my savings on the fact that he probably, when he found out he was going on the show, or even before, as soon as he applied, he was studying every episode that was available for him to watch to figure out exactly how he was going to play his game once he got there.
Yeah,
he didn't give a shit about Katie.
He didn't expect to get called on his bullshit.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit about Katie. He just was there to be on the TV for as long as possible and then go home. He didn't give a shit about her.
That's true.
So after that happens, Katie steps out for a second, and then Tayshia and Caitlin are talking to her, and she's trying to be like, I don't know what to do, da da da. And they just go, well, Katie, the good thing is it's your decision. Like, okay, that's not very helpful. Like, duh, it's her decision. I mean, obviously, the producers, like, influence who she sends home and who she keeps, especially this early on. But anyway, so then she comes back, she keeps sending out her roses, and John, Kyle, Garrett, and Carl get sent home. So four guys get sent home, and it was so awkward when they're like, okay, like, if you didn't receive a rose, everybody say goodbye, whatever. Nobody wanted to give Carl the time of day. And he just, like, was, like, singled out and was, like, really awkwardly just, like, standing between Katie and the rest of the guys. And he would, like, kind of, like, stare at her and then kind of look away, like, almost like he was waiting for her to say something to him. And then he just, like, lingers for, like, way too long, doesn't say anything, doesn't say bye, nothing. And then he just kind of, like, slowly walks out, and then he keeps, like, looking over his shoulder, like, waiting to see if she's, like, watching him walk away or going to say anything. I was like, just leave. Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, that was weird. He didn't even say bye to her.
It was so, just, like, it was so creepy. It was giving me very much Chad Johnson from, I can't even remember whose season he was on, but very much like scary, creepy vibes, but like in a more, like, not in such an aggressive way like Chad was.
I thought it was more like a clown way. Like a clown.
That too. And then at some point, all of the guys that
I thought for a moment that he was going to defend himself and say, okay, you guys want names? Here are the names. Or he was going to pull hair aside and say, here, I'll tell you.
Maybe he was contemplating it and just like waiting for the right moment. But like literally nobody was paying him any mind. And so he probably was just like, eh, I'm just going to go now.
Not worth it.
I've already made an ass of myself. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. So I don't remember getting an exit interview from Carl either. Did we see him say anything?
Nope.
Weird. So I also noticed that, and there seems to be some, I mean, confusion on my part, but at one point, all the guys who were left who got roses, they were all clapping. I was like, are they clapping for Katie for sending Carl home? But then someone said that they were clapping because John got sent home and they were clapping for John. So I'm like, well, which was it? Because I thought,
why were they clapping for John?
Because they all liked him, I guess.
Oh.
And he got sent home? I don't know. It was really weird. I was like, from my perspective, I thought they were clapping because they were like telling Katie, like they did, you know, after they were like, we all think Carl needs to go.
Yeah.
So I thought they were clapping for her, but I don't know. That was kind of a weird moment, but whatever.
Yeah.
So the next morning, rose ceremony is over. The next morning, we see a bunch of the guys sitting in a hot tub talking, and I can't remember who it was. I don't know why I wrote that down, but I did. and then we get a date card. It's for a group date. And this group date, I have mixed feelings about it, but I think overall it was good. But they walk into a room and there's like a circle of chairs, like an AA meeting or something is about to happen. And Nick Viall is there.
Which is the most odd choice for that kind of setting and what was about to happen.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I got a yawn. Excuse me. So they're all sitting in a circle and it's just like, they're all kind of like squirming and like, they're squirming because Nick Viall is explaining to them what the date is going to be. And basically just saying, you know, if you're going to have a relationship with someone, you need to be really honest about your past and any mistakes you might have made or things you're not proud of. And, you know, so that there's honesty and open communication and blah, 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 blah. And all the guys like instantly are just like, oh, shit, like what is about to go down? But what I liked, they've done similar things like this in group dates in the past. Like, for example, when Tayshia was the Bachelorette, remember they had that group date where they hooked them all up to the lie detector test?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that, except this was more of like an open forum of like, you get to decide what you're going to share. And it wasn't really like, it was kind of just like a popcorn thing, like someone shares and then someone else goes and, you know, whatever. So it was different in that way to where like, it wasn't gimmicky in any way, you know what I mean? I did find it weird that they had Nick hosting the date, though. I was like, why Nick?
Exactly.
But anyway, I was like, why didn't they bring in like an actual professional? Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a very heavy thing that they were all sharing.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't really, I mean, I'm assuming they probably didn't know like what was going to happen.
Well, but he was acting as a mediator or a
counselor or therapist, something. Yeah. I was just like, this is odd. But so we see Hunter go first, who we haven't really heard a whole lot from Hunter up until this point, but he kind of drops a bomb and tells Katie that he was previously married and had two kids and was just talking about how he fucked up and, you know, was basically just taking the blame for his marriage falling apart and not, you know, being a good dad for his kids at the time because he would be like overwhelmed and throwing himself into work and using that as an excuse to get away from his family. And he was like really opening up and he's crying and Katie's crying. And, but I thought it was really cool that he wasn't putting the blame on anyone. It was nothing like a, oh, my ex is crazy. Like, nothing like that, or like, oh, we just grew apart. Like, he was very honest, and like, that was...
Well, not everybody have crazy exes, you know?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, so many guys, joking. Like, when they talk about their exes, like, oh, she's just crazy. But he, like, it was just a very, like, real thing, a real conversation. My only criticism of this type of group date, though, is that it does feel, obviously, it's a little forced, and these types of conversations seem like they really should just be happening between the person and Katie. Yeah, one-on-one. I mean, everyone's going to see it eventually, but in the moment, I would imagine that it... But I don't know. At the same time, if you know that other people... Like, Hunter going first kind of opened up the floor for the other guys to kind of like see like, okay, what kind of things are we sharing here? And he just went full on. He really went for it. And which kind of like was maybe gave the other guys kind of a radar of like where to go with it and what to share. So I don't know. Overall, it was well, like,
except that one of them didn't get the memo.
Oh God, we'll get there. So anyway, so
Everybody was pretty genuine and honest about their own shortcomings.
Yeah, and we
and
didn't,
how they failed in the past and how they grew from it.
Yeah, we didn't.
Except
and
for,
we didn't actually get to see. We only got to hear a couple people, like, their full story. Like, a lot of them, it just showed us, like, the last sentence they said, or didn't, like, we didn't get to hear the whole thing, which I kind of hoped that we would hear more, but, you know, what do you do? And then fucking, okay, the idiot of the jester of the fucking episode, now that Carl is gone, is Thomas, the little engine that couldn't shut the fuck up. He's like, and the scariest thing about this is he's saying all this shit with this big fucking, like, too many teeth smile on his face. I'm like, sir, are you about to go fuck up Gotham City right now? Because you are giving me Joker vibes and I'm scared. He was like,
it's so huge.
He goes, he tells her that. He's like, yeah, I came, you know, honestly, I didn't really know who you were, and I wasn't really that excited about you. This isn't word for word what he said, but basically, he's like, yeah, I've just, you know, was like, hopefully, if it doesn't work out, I could potentially build a platform, and, you know, in case I didn't have a connection with whoever the Bachelorette was, at least I would build a platform. I'm just like, bro, and keep in mind, he's saying all this with a fucking shit-eating grin on his face. Like, everyone's going to give him a pat on the back for being honest. Like, we're like,
I'm really being honest. I know everybody else felt the same way, but I'm actually telling you.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, dude, everybody who goes on this goddamn show thinks that, but you don't say it.
And
you dumb dumb.
But then I met you and now I'm all into you.
Okay,
and
so that's the thing. If he would have just left it at being honest about going there to potentially build a platform or gain attention or whatever, if he didn't connect with the Bachelorette and left it at that, it would have been like, okay, not great, but also thank you for your honesty.
Also,
but then he had to take it a step further and try to convince all of us that, oh, but now that I know it's you, I'm just, I really feel a connection with you. And then I'm just like, you are,
we locked eyes.
I'm like,
kind
you're
of.
So full of shit. Your eyes are brown.
Also, him saying the thing about I came here to build a platform, he used that as an excuse for not being honest, because the question was, what have you done in a relationship before where you were wrong and you grew from it?
Well, like, I don't think it was. I think they might have used that as an example, but I don't think I think they could have talked about anything.
Well, they were all sharing how.
I know, but I think that I don't think that that was a requirement.
Yeah, but that wasn't something like that didn't make me
he
get
didn't,
to know
he
him
didn't
better.
Do a great job of reading the room.
Yeah, but also how is it him saying that gives you a better idea of who he is? Like, oh, the point of the exercise was so she can know you better, where you came from and how you got here and who you are, to know more about you.
Yeah.
How did that give any insight of who he is?
That's another thing. That's another thing that scares me, is because it's like, if that's the thing you chose to share, what kind of fucking skeletons are in your closet,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, he gave us zero insight of who he is and what has influenced him to be who he is today and what he learned from his past. Zero.
Yeah, he's scary. I don't like it. So then we see Connor. We don't really need to talk about this too much, but Connor B opens up and talks about how he used to have a drinking problem. And one night, like, he was an angry drunk and he went out and cheated on his girlfriend. And when he was describing this whole story up until the point where he talks about how he cheated on his ex-girlfriend or whatever, I was so scared because I was like, is he about to tell us that he, like,
beat her up
or
that's
like
what I was thinking
hit
too.
Her or like,
because I seen that movie before.
Yeah, me too, in my own life.
Yeah, I know.
Not to get dark, sorry y'all. But yeah, I was just like, I was really scared that
because
it was gonna be something like that.
If you said that, I was gonna say run
for the fucking hills.
but he didn't.
Yeah, no. So I was like, whew, okay, Connor.
Because you know what? When a man is violent, I don't care. Drinking is not an excuse.
No.
If you drink and you that result in you being violent, it was already there before you drank.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, because all drinking does is lower your inhibitions and your ability to hold
you
back.
You can't excuse alcohol for being violent.
No,
I'm absolutely not.
If you're listening and we're talking about you, you know who you are. no, but seriously. and then Katie goes and she gets really serious and she tells the guys, you know, like, I'm going to share something that I haven't even told my own mom. And she talks about how there was a night on, I think she said it was like New Year's Eve or something, where there was drinking involved, and she didn't say she was assaulted or she didn't say she was raped, but she said that there was a situation where there was not consent. She was drunk. She had someone had sex with her and she didn't consent to it, which, hello,
you could,
yeah, exactly. So she's opening up about that and then talking about how she didn't really realize at the time, like, what had happened. And it made her, when she did kind of realize it, it made her want to try to have a relationship with this person to try to make
it. She was in so much denial that she tried to have a relationship with this person to justify what happened.
Right. And then she just talks about how after that she, like, didn't want to have sex at all, didn't want to talk about it, and just how it, you know, the whole conversation was, you know, basically just after she told her story, just talking about how important consent is. And I just, every episode, Katie grows on me more and more. And, like, this whole group date was so just, it felt like it wasn't a corny TV show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of what the exercise was about.
Yeah.
You got more insight about who she is and where she came from and how much work it took for her to be so sex positive and, you know, have such a positive attitude about sex. It wasn't just a flippant thing that she just used to to draw attention.
Yeah, totally.
But that's the difference between that and what Greg did. There was, like, no insight.
Oh, my God. If Greg had been on this date, I mean,
not Greg. Tomas.
Oh, his name's Thomas. I just called him Tomas because I thought it was funny.
I thought it was Tomas.
I mean, it could be. Anyway, so it was great that she, you know, the way that she shared, but then also, like, really made the focus of the conversation about, like, not exactly like, oh, poor me, I'm a victim, but, like, hey, this is what I learned from the situation, and consent is really important, and all you fuckers better be listening. Sweet Connor B is crying with Katie, like the sweet little empathetic Pisces that he is. He's going to get his heart absolutely shattered because she is not into him. But that kind of ends the group date, or that part of it. And they all do this, like, group hug. And I'm like, I would be trying to get out of that. And then we go back to the house where the other guys are for a moment, and we see Daddy-O, a.k.a. Michael, a.k.a. fucking Zaddy, talking to some of the guys about his story. And we got to actually hear his story twice, which I was like, really, guys? You're going to make me cry like this twice in one episode? And he's talking about how he was married with a woman they were together for, what, 16 years or something in total.
Yeah.
And
he said she's the only person he ever said I love you to.
Yep. They had a son, and then 7 months after she gave birth, found out she had breast cancer, and then eventually passed away in 2019. And we're all just like, what? No. And they kind of, you know, he's telling the guys a story, and then we cut back to the group date, the night portion of the group date. And I just, there wasn't the guys were all kind of like, I can't remember exactly if they were like talking to Thomas like they were with Carl and like calling him out, but you could tell that all the guys were pissed at Thomas and like, didn't want him to be there.
It started with when she was talking to somebody and he went and interrupted him.
Well, he went and talked to Katie first, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. So he went and talked to Katie first and she's into it somehow. And then he came back and
he told her something about there's many red lights.
Oh yeah. He told her, how could I forget?
You see, I didn't even take notes and I remember.
Wow, good job. He tells Katie, he's like, oh yeah, there's tons of red flags about me, da da da. And she's like, okay, please share. What are some of them?
Yeah, let's talk about
it. And he like couldn't come up with anything. I was like, what is wrong with you? You're so crazy.
Then he said a lot of words that didn't mean anything. And then he left and somebody else was talking to her. And then when he left,
Aaron,
he started thinking about what he had said. Like the rest of us was a lot of hot air and no substance. So he's like, oh, I have to go talk to her again and explain myself because now she's thinking all these things about me.
So he interrupts poor Aaron while he's in the middle of telling Katie about his dad's stroke and interrupts her to go talk to her again when he's already talked to her and some of the other guys haven't gotten any time. And which obviously pisses everybody off.
Well, while he was talking to her, the other guy goes back and tell everybody what happened. And he said he had something important to tell her. So when he comes back in the room, they ask him, well, what was so important?
Oh, that's what it was. He was telling Katie, well, you know, fear and love are two very similar things. And I've never been more afraid. And like,
there's no love without fear. I'm like, what?
It was this really weird, like, she was eating out of the fucking palm of his hand.
Oh, there's no fear without love. No, it didn't make any sense.
Love without fear. I don't know. It was just some weird fucking psychobabble bullshit. And he goes back out to the guys and they're like, what was so important? You think your time's more important than ours? And he's like, yeah.
No, he said, I had to tell her that I'm falling for her. And they said, you actually said that, those words? And he said, yes.
Liar.
And then later on, he kept changing his story. Every person he talked to, he would give a different version of what he said.
No, but when Aaron was like, so you think your time is more important than mine? He was like, yeah. I was like, sir, the huevos on you. So anyway, Connor B ends up getting the group date rose, which honestly is shocking to me. I'm like, every time he kisses her, she pulls away. She doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
I wonder if he has bad breath.
Oh, no.
Maybe that's why.
Oh, no.
Maybe she's like, I really like him. Maybe this is something that can be fixed.
I literally broke up with somebody over that when I was like 17. I was dating and in hindsight, I definitely made the right choice because anyway, won't get into it. But he was a couple years older than me and every time he would like want to kiss me or anything, I couldn't take it. His breath was so stanky and he had this like, I don't want to talk about his appearance because that's rude, but he had this really just bad breath and it literally got to the point where I was like making excuses not to hang out with my own boyfriend because I couldn't stand his fucking dragon breath.
Yeah, but maybe she's like, I really like this guy and maybe he just needs some medical help that can be fixed. That's something that you can actually fix in someone. I don't know. But it's clearly that every time he kisses her, she pulls away.
Yeah, it's not good. Poor guy. I'm interested to see. I know. I feel like she has to send him home before hometowns. Please don't do that to Connor. He can't take it. His poor little heart can't take it. I'm scared for Connor. He's going to be all right in the long run, but we'll see what happens to Connor. But he's around for one more week. He got the group date rose, so good for you, Connor. So in between that group date, at some point, we went back to the house and see that Michael, a.k.a. Daddy-O, got the one-on-one date card, and we are all rejoicing. And honestly, all the guys were probably like, hell yeah, dude, you deserve it. So,
their date was awesome.
Oh my God.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is just like so profound.
So Katie, so genuine. Also, let's also remember that Michael is 36 years old. So he's mature. He's a full grown adult.
Well,
not that age always means maturity, but like he is a lot older than most of the guys. He's been through a lot. He clearly like is just a sweet angel and hasn't let the hardship that he's gone through like turn him into,
I think, when somebody
a cold person
felt the loss that he did, loving somebody so much and losing them unexpectedly at such a young age, that really changes a person. And you can tell that he doesn't take anything for granted, and he knows that time is precious, and he acts that way.
Yeah. So their date starts off with them riding around in this little dune buggy thing, which before Katie got there, she freaking flipped, and we're like, are you alive?
They like, just flipped her right back and she went on our date.
The ghost of Chris Harrison is really trying to sabotage her season. People falling off the breaking patio furniture, flipping cars. I'm like, what next? So after they ride, they go sit in a field. They're talking, and Michael is talking about how he really sees something with Katie, and he didn't start talking about his ex. Well, I guess you don't call, if someone dies, it's not their ex-wife because they died.
No, there's a word for it.
I know that he's a widower, but like
his late wife.
Okay. His late wife. Anyway, I'm like, wait, how do you appropriately address the deceased? so anyway, he was just like so sweet and romantic with her during the day portion of their day, and she seemed very into it. And they give us a little shot of them making out up against something, I don't know, a car or something, and he's like grabbing her booty. I was like, oh, okay, this is a makeout session I'm not mad about watching. Connor B, on the other hand, I could do without, but this I'm not mad at. So they go to the dinner portion of their date, and he starts telling Katie about his story, about his wife, and just all the details, more details than we heard earlier when he was talking to the guys. And everybody's sobbing, everybody's crying. It was very emotional.
It reminded me of that bachelorette, what's her name, the little blonde one, the one that
Emily
lost her,
Maynard.
Yeah, they lost her husband too.
Yeah. And so they're talking and just having a great conversation. And Katie is such an excellent listener. She, not once has she ever interrupted anybody when they're talking to her about something, no matter how
to match their stories,
serious it is or not. And she like really does a good job of like making sure that the person knows that she's listening to them, and that like she is that she cares about what they're saying. And I just love that about her. And she's not looking for an opportunity to interrupt or to tell her own story in the middle of it or
like
anything.
Claire.
Like, yeah. Anyway. So they're both getting choked up, rightfully so, and just having a really sweet conversation. And, he says one of the lines that he said to her was, you know, she's talking about like, oh, you know, I'm really hoping that this whole experience ends in an engagement. And he says something like, he's like, well, I think it begins with an, the show ends, but then it begins with an engagement and the rest comes after that or something. I can't remember exactly what he says, something along those lines. And then he tells her, what a blessing it is for me to have the opportunity to fall in love twice. And I'm just like, ah, I'm done. Throw the rest of the guys away.
Yeah, I don't
we
know.
We don't need any more.
Yeah, I don't know how she can choose anybody else after that.
How the fuck are you going to pick freaking 90s hair Greg with no personality over Zaddy? I don't understand. He's okay.
No, he's, if she doesn't end up with him, it's going to be her loss.
So we see her in an ITM, an in-the-moment interview, like the producer interview, and she is super emotional, and she's saying, this could be the start of me falling in love with Michael. And we're like, us too, bitch! Us too!
The whole country fell
in love
with him.
I'm like, he's all of our fiancé now. Their date goes great. And then they, what was that? Were they?
He's so cute. Like every little thing he says to her is not, I mean, if somebody else were saying it, it would probably be corny as hell. But the way he says it is just so sweet, you know?
Yeah, because he's a nice guy. He's not faking it.
Yeah, he's not trying to do lines.
Side note, he posted some video on his Instagram recently. I don't know if it was today, if it was posted today, but I saw it today, and he like grew out a beard and must have whitened his teeth. I don't know. He did something, but the beard was the main difference. And I was like, kill me now. He's so fine. I was like, wow, you should have had that beard on the show because Katie would be Greg who. He's so hot. I'm obsessed. And then, you know, the personality and all the whatever else on top of it. So if you're not following Michael,
if she doesn't end up with him, he's going to be the next Bachelor. There's no question.
They would be absolutely fools to not make that happen.
Yeah, because there will be so many women that would want to be on the show with him.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating thinking about it. Hoo-wee. Anyway, so they end their date. Best date I've seen on the show in a really long time. And then we see all the guys in the house, and Hunter is talking about how he's gonna confront Thomas. And so,
yeah, these fools are so concerned about Thomas. I mean, he can't hold a candle.
I'm like, good. Keep paying attention to Thomas and all that bullshit so that you're not, so that you don't know that Michael is winning the show and you guys all have no idea. So,
yeah.
Keep focusing your energy on Thomas. Let Michael have Katie or become the Bachelor or whatever. Yeah, Thomas thinks he's going to be the Bachelor. What a fucking joke with those sideburns. No, sir. So his sideburns drive me crazy. They're like, you can tell that like he gets like a really like intense lineup when he goes to the barbershop. But obviously they don't have someone cutting their hair. So he's probably doing it himself or one of the guys is. And it just like looks like really weird. I don't know. Hairdresser things that I just noticed these things. Anyway, you're going to probably notice it now and it's going to bother you. He has like these skinny little like sideburns. It's like too much. Anyway, but they're like on purpose. It looks stamped. He looks like, you know, like the Lego people and you can like click their little hair or like their hats on. That's what it looks like. It looks like he's just a little Lego with his hair clicked on. Anyway, so I don't even remember, like, did Hunter say anything to him or was it just kind of like, who opened the conversation? Was it Hunter?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because he was like, I'm going to talk to him. I'm not going to let him get away with this and blah, blah, blah. It was definitely Hunter.
Well, because they had had a private conversation earlier in the episode and they were talking about it. And Hunter was telling me, he's like, look, man, like, just so you know, like, this isn't really good look for you. Like, you should probably cut it out. And was, like, trying to be honest with him. And Thomas was just like, ooh.
Oh, but then as the night went on, two or three different guys asked him if he was falling in love with her, if he said he was falling in love with her. And he gave three different versions. Oh, no, I said I was falling for her. And then he gave the guys, so when they were together, that's when Hunter said, well, now that I know this, I'm really going to talk to him, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, so they're confronting him. He's in the hot seat, whatever. And then I want to say it was Aaron that was like, just answer the question. Did you come here thinking that there's a potential that you could be the Bachelor? And he was like kind of dancing around it. And then he was like, no, answer the question. And then I think he was like, yeah, I can't remember. I'm sorry. We recorded this 3 days after we watched the show. So sorry. But
regardless, it's pointless because he's going to go home eventually.
Right. So anyway, that's kind of where the episode leaves off, is this whole confrontation with Thomas. And then we get a preview for next week, and we see that Canada Blake is going to be making his appearance very soon.
They are going to freak out.
Oh, Aaron is going to absolutely lose his shit. That man is already like about to be pushed over the edge as it is. I don't think he can take any more.
Which one is Aaron?
The one that looks like a grown-up Goslin.
Oh.
The one that had the issues with Cody right off the bat. Remember when they were mud wrestling and
Yeah.
I like Aaron. I don't think that he's going to be good for Katie, but I think Aaron would crush in Paradise.
Yeah.
So hope to see him there. But yeah, that was pretty much it. And it looks like there is a lot more drama to come. I can't wait. And I'm so invested in who she's going to choose, mostly because I'm obsessed with Michael. So yeah, I will be on pins and needles the rest of the season to see who she chooses. The only reason
for her not to choose Michael is if there's just absolutely no chemistry there, but it seems like there is.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to, I mean, unless he just does something really crazy.
Also, I would like to note that we know that Katie is a Capricorn, and I'm pretty sure she has a Pisces moon, which makes her very sensitive and in touch with her feelings. And Michael is a Taurus, and typically two earth suns, are typically going to be very compatible with each other. So that's another check off the list for them, for anyone who gives a shit. So.
All right.
Okay. We made it. Mama Halbert is running away as usual early. That is my sign to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. If you need a break from the heat this weekend, you can text me and you can come pay $5 to sit in our air conditioned home for an hour. Just kidding. Not really, but maybe. No, but seriously, I hope everyone stays cool, stays hydrated this weekend. And we'll talk to you next Friday. TGIF.
Bye.
Bye.